I'd like to turn our attention as we come to a time of prayer to Exodus chapter 20. And I'd like for us to do that by praying and telling the truth about who we are. Now, I would encourage our deacons and adult Bible fellowship leaders and other leaders in the congregation and anyone who feels led to come and join me up front here on our knees as we approach our Father at this part of the service. You may say, well, it's not carpeted up there yet. We don't need carpeted steps in order to come before our Father and to pray. So as I'm reading, I would encourage you to come. Those of you who find a place to kneel right where you are, we encourage you to do that. And otherwise, just join us as you sit as I read Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth below or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 7, beginning with verse 1, I'd like to read down through verse 27. I was just told by my 3-year-old son's Sunday school teacher that he had asked to lead his class in some songs this morning, and he led them in Ring of Fire. So visitors, if you passed through the children's area and heard a cherubic little voice singing, Bound by Wild Desire, I fell into a ring of fire. It was the preacher's kid, and he was trying to just prepare us for a sermon on adultery, and that's what we're going to do today. Proverbs chapter 7 looks at what God has said to us through Moses in Exodus chapter 20. And let's look at what the Word of God has to say. Listen to the words of Christ. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, and I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. So come, let us take of our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. So with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. And all at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into the snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Let's pray. Holy Father, we just sang together that our Lord Christ commands our destiny from our first breath until our last breath. And so, Father, we know it's no accident that anyone in this room is here. And, Father, we know that your word is addressed to every person in this room. And so, Father, we pray this morning that whatever spirit in this place would exalt itself against the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that that spirit would be silenced. Father, we pray that whatever would distract us from the Word of God, we pray, Father, that that would be moved out of the way. And we pray, Father, that we would hear Jesus Christ saying to us, "Come and follow me." We ask this, the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last night, most of our city heard it thunder and saw it thunder. Down on the waterfront and downtown, the place was thronged with people gathering to see one of the biggest fireworks shows in all of the world. Gathering to see as the city comes together in a festival, kicking off the events that will ultimately lead to the Kentucky Derby. Some of you were down there watching the bridges glowing, shaking with fireworks, and seeing the planes flying overhead and the helicopters, and watching the children standing up and gasping at the sight. But what was not as obvious is the fact that over the past year, people have been planning this very event, spending a lot of time and a lot of work getting everything together, getting flight plans together, and exit strategies for ambulances and fire personnel, security detail. There were people who were working out how the traffic would flow and where it would flow. People who were planning how to pack the fireworks and the explosives in a way that would be brilliant and yet would also be safe. People were working and working and working on how to get you downtown to see thunder over Louisville, but you never knew they were planning it. You never saw them putting everything together, but they were doing it on days when you were going to your job or picking your kids up from school or sitting down and doing a geometry problem for your homework. When you were visiting with your family or going out to eat, people were sitting down and mapping out every detail for what would be 30 minutes to an hour of thunder. You couldn't hear them working. You couldn't see them working. All that you could see was the final result. Brothers and sisters and friends, this is exactly what is happening with far more at stake when we see the issue that our Lord uncovers in the command, "You shall not commit adultery." This is addressed to every one of us in this room, and every one of us in this room is on the verge of committing adultery. You may say, "Oh, Brother Moore, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not even married. I'm a widow. I'm a 12-year-old. I'm happily married. The scripture tells us that sexual immorality, the breaking of the covenant, which means any sexual activity outside of the one flesh union of marriage, is adultery. Those of you who are involved in sexual immorality, whether married or not, you are committing adultery against your future spouse or someone's future spouse. Those of you in this room who believe yourselves to be invulnerable to the temptation toward adultery are moving exactly into the place where someone wants you to be. Because as the book of Proverbs is pointing out, when it comes to the issue of adultery, there are no accidents. There is a personal threat. Book of Hebrews gives us a personal calling from wisdom. Come and walk in this way and follow me. But there is also, Scripture tells us, a personal calling from the other direction seeking to destroy you. Just as you didn't see those people planning out the fireworks display, you don't see the fact that the scripture tells us that there are unseen guerrilla fighters who are targeting you if you claim the name of Christ, and who are targeting you if you image Christ, targeting you for destruction. You are being watched. Notice first of all that in this warning about adultery, we see adultery and the call to wisdom. This is a dad who is writing to his son, and he says, son, I want you to take wisdom. That's not intelligence. That's not knowing a bunch of facts. It is knowing the way in which to walk. He says, I want you to take wisdom, and I want you to hold on to wisdom, and I want you to guard it the way that you would the apple of your eye. That's the core of your eye, that dark place of your eye. So just as if you were in a place where there were shards of glass flying around, you'd protect your eye. This weak and vulnerable part of yourself. He says, I want you to guard wisdom the way that you would guard that. I want you to walk according to wisdom. And he gives you an example. He says, why? One time I was standing at the window and I looked out and saw on the street. Now notice what he's saying. He is peering down and he is seeing from up above what the young man that he's watching, what he doesn't see, what he can't perceive. He says, I see somebody who is simple. I see somebody who is lacking in sense. It starts right here. It starts in a lack of wisdom. Someone who does not have the discernment to see what is going on around him. The move toward adultery never starts with a lady jumping out of a cake or something like that. The move toward adultery starts with a gradual weakening of one's discernment and of one's wisdom. It is a slow move. He says, I see him walking down the street. He is walking toward her house. Now, what he doesn't tell us is whether this young man knows he's walking toward her house. It doesn't tell us whether he knows that that's where she lives. It just says he is walking toward her house. His father can see it from above, but he can't see it. He is walking slowly right into the trap. And so are some of you. You are starting off right now by single person building patterns into your life that will destroy you in sexual chaos. Or you are married person starting that same old script that we have all seen 100,000 times of starting the process of justifying an affair to yourself. You start by noticing some physical unattractiveness or emotional unattractiveness of your spouse. So you start cataloging that in your mind. You just start noting that and mulling on it in your mind. And then you'll start talking to other people about it. Why? She's just getting fat, just like her mother. Why? He's just getting bald. Why? He's just, you start with this criticism, this critical looking toward your spouse. It is a slow move toward this place of adultery. And at every point, you can't see it. That's why if someone calls you on it, you'll say, oh, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. It is a slow move here toward destruction. You are being watched by beings that are noticing what turns your head, by noticing what quickens your pulse, and they will make sure that those things will greet you. She waits for him, the scripture says. She waits for him in the marketplace. She waits for him on the side of the road. She is there so that when he is there, she is able to greet him. That's the issue. She suddenly appears, and he is at the point, because of his lack of wisdom and discernment, that he is powerless before her. Had a young man come to me a while back, and he said, I've got to confess something. I want you to help me with something. He said, I was on a date with a young lady the other night, and I don't even know what got a hold of me, but I tried to do something that I should not have tried to do. It was wrong. He said, and she hauled back and slapped me right across the face. I said, first of all, good for her. It's a Proverbs 31 action. Number two, he said, but what can I do? He said, I have repented. I have apologized to her. He said, but what can I do to ensure that that kind of thing never happens again? I said, well, here's a whole list of things that we're going to do, but here's the first thing. You are not going to be in a place where you can try to do what you did without getting arrested. You try to do that in the middle of Starbucks, somebody's going to call the police. You try to do that in the middle of Ruby Tuesdays, somebody's going to call the police. But when you are sitting alone in a car, when you are sitting alone in an apartment, when you are sitting alone in a house, God has hardwired people toward sexual expression within a marriage covenant so much that when the temptation comes along, you are already exactly where the evil one wants you to be. Why is it that some of you who are parents are willing to allow your children to be placed in places where they are going to be absolutely ripped to shreds by satanic temptation? What are you thinking? Why are some of you putting yourself in places with other people where temptation is going to arrive just like this woman suddenly before you even know what is happening, before you're even able to see what is going on? Because there are beings who want to see to it that it happens. That's why. Notice secondly, that he warns us here about adultery and the pull of persuasion. This woman comes out, she starts doing things that women didn't do in public, kissing him in public. She's coming out dressing in this forbidden kind of a way, dressed like a harlot. She's not a harlot necessarily, but she's dressed like a paid prostitute. She is giving him here the thrill of the forbidden and the thrill of the illicit. Some of you are preparing yourselves for adultery simply by allowing yourself to take whatever it is that the outside culture tells you is sexy, which is forbidden and transgressive, and you are couching that in your mind as the definition of what is pleasurable. Somebody is training you and preparing you to be destroyed. She comes up and she starts kissing him and she starts adoring his ego. I have waited for you. I've been waiting for you. Early on in my ministry, we had a woman in a congregation. She was always waiting for me at the back door as soon as I was finished, and she would just tell me how wonderful I was every single time. And my wife said, "She is after you." I said, "That is crazy. Bless her heart. She's just trying to learn the ways of the Lord." She said, "I'm a woman, and I know, and she is after you." And she said, "I'm just going to make sure that anytime she's around, I'm around too." And she was. Whenever she was there, she was there. Now you may say, "Brother Moore, how is it that this woman was interested in you and you look like a cricket?" Because the issue is not how attractive the person is. I can tell you, and so can every pastor at this church, that we are dealing with people every single week whose lives are wrecked by adultery. And these are not sexy people. Some of the homeliest women and some of the most pathetic men that you have ever seen in your life are able to find somebody who will sleep with them. Do you know why? Because it is not what they look like, it is not who they are, it's who they're not. There is a power that is going to make sure that it is happening, and it will persuade you by causing you to think, "Oh, I am special. This is a different kind of situation. Oh, I have found my soulmate. Oh, what I've been waiting for all of my life, and she understands me, or he understands me, and he knows what she doesn't know, and she knows what..." This is a persuasive pull seeking to destroy you. Notice what she does. She not only appeals to that ego, she also promises secrecy. She says, "Why, I've gone and paid my vow. I've done my sacrifice. That means I've got a great meal at home. Won't you come and have supper with me? Oh, my husband is gone. And he took a pouch of money with him, which means he's going to be gone for a long time. He's not going to be back until the moon is full when he can see his way down through the paths. No one is ever going to know. No one is ever going to find out." This is exactly what the satanic powers want you to believe. That you can hide in the secrecy of your transgression against the law of God. Some of you in this room are involved in relationships right now that will be uncovered, I promise you. Some of you men in this room are involved with electronic prostitutes in adulterous sexual immorality through internet pornography. Some of you in this room, women, are involved in emotional escapism with a relationship with someone or with romance novels or with something else, and you're hiding all of that. You believe that you can hide all of those things, and it gives you a thrill when you're not caught. At first, you feel really, really guilty, but you're not caught. And so it makes it easier and easier and easier to be led further and further and further and further toward your downfall and toward your destruction. That is exactly what they want you to think. They are planning this. They are watching you. And they will tell you it is never going to be seen, it is never going to be disclosed, and they will pull you further so that you will wind up doing things in the fullness of time that you cannot imagine yourself doing now. Persuades you. But notice finally that the warning here is of an adultery and the hell of a condemnation. Notice what he says. He says, "Suddenly, this man doesn't realize that he is prey." He says, he is like an ox that's being led down the ramp. Come on, Cal. Come on, Come on, we've got something really good for you right down here. Yeah, come on. Yeah, I'm talking real gentle to you. We've got sugar licks that you can have. We've got whatever it is. We've got hay and we've got grain and we've got whatever. Just come on just a little bit further until suddenly he's dead. Like a bird that goes into a trap, like a deer that's just wandering ignorantly through the woods when suddenly he's shot. He says, this is what happens. The adultery comes upon this person. He doesn't recognize that he is prey. He doesn't recognize, she doesn't recognize that it's going to cost life. He doesn't recognize he's not alone. Folks, I talk to people every single week who have wrecked their lives in adultery. None of them ever think, well, here I am playing out this same old pattern again. They always think they're special. They always think something is different here. What this young man doesn't see is that he is one of an army of people who have been destroyed by adultery. He says, and underneath her floor is a mighty throng. What you don't even see is that underneath her house is the chambers of death. Her way is the way to hell. You don't think about it. You don't recognize what is going on. You just think I'm being critical of my spouse. You just think I'm in a dating relationship. You just think I'm looking at the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. You just think I'm a stupid, foolish person. You don't recognize and know that the end result is death and condemnation. Some of you in this room, before the year out, are going to so destroy your families that your children will be standing at your funeral thinking about what you have done in your wickedness to their family. Some of you are going to wreck and destroy your lives in ways that will turn you into a shade of what you are right now. You do not see it. And even more significantly than that, the reason that this power wants to do this to you is because the scripture tells us adulterers, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. If somebody in this room started screaming out, Jesus is a demon, we would recognize what's going on. Adultery and sexual immorality is saying the exact same thing with one's body. The Christ Church Union is a lie. That's what you're saying. You are denying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now here's the good news. Good news is that those chambers of death, those chambers of hell, Scripture says such were some of you. There is nobody in this room who is beyond the reach of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus himself, though he was never bound by wild desire, he was bound like that ox. He was shot through like that stag. He was caught like that bird. And he bore in his own body the hell that you and I deserve. He was charged with being an adulterer, and he paid the penalty for adultery, and he overcame the penalty for adultery by being raised from the dead. If you will turn and repent of your immorality, wherever you are in the spectrum, and you will cry out for mercy, and you will ask, I will give up this old pattern of life no matter what it takes. And if it means getting rid of my computer, if it means getting a new job, if it means moving to another town, I will do whatever it takes. I will follow you wherever you lead me. Have mercy upon me, Lord Christ. You will find not only forgiveness, you will find transformation by the only one who can call you out of the grips of evil. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that means seeing and recognizing what is going on. And the scripture tells us the word of God convicts. The Holy Spirit may have brought some things to mind for some of you. And the temptation you're going to have is to sear it over. Just like there are demonic beings who want to lead you toward adultery, They also want to lead you to pay no attention to what you have just heard. Pay no attention to the Word of God that you have just seen. Paper it over, cover it over, leave out of here, go outside, and live your life the way that you've always lived your life. Brothers and sisters and friends, what you can't see is that there is scaffolding all over you. What you can't see is that your patterns are being tracked. What you can't see is that you're in a kind of nature documentary for beings who want to get you right where they want to have you, and they will get you so suddenly that you will never know what is happening. You are moving toward that house. Can you hear the thunder under the floor? Let's pray. So our ushers come forward. I'd like to ask every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. There's some of you in this room that the Holy Spirit is saying, this is you. There's some of you in this room that the Holy Spirit is saying, you are guilty of adultery or fornication or sexual immorality, and you are outside of Christ. I would invite you today, do not leave here toward hell. Soon as the service is over, I'm going to be right up here. There are going to be other ministers up here. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, please come and talk with us. You say, oh, I don't want to go up there. People see me, they'll think I'm an adulterer. No, they won't. People come up here and say, how you doing every week? They don't think that, and even if they do, who cares? Get yourself right with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There'll be people here who can talk with you. There are others of you in this room who maybe you know Christ, but you can see the way that your life is being destroyed right now. I invite you, as soon as the service is over, come and grab somebody and say, hey, I want to fight for my life, for the life of my family. We invite you to come as well. We're about to have a time of offering, and I'd like for you, as the offering plate goes by, to pray and to ask, Holy Spirit, what would you show me about where I am on the move toward adultery or the move away from adultery? Don't leave here if there is anything the Spirit is doing in your life without talking to someone. Let's pray. Holy Father, I pray that you would let there be light. Father, I pray that you would protect people in this room from what is seeking to destroy them. Father, we ask that you would bless this offering that we give to you. Father, that you would use it to help us to fight the demonic principalities and powers in the heavenly places in Louisville and all over the world. And we ask this to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.